So my name is Paula Pettengill. I run the airline division for Rhodes Scholar in Boston. And with me today, our panelist is Leo with Exito Travel and Carolyn with Alaskan Airline. And also we have Drew from Delta here with us as well. But what I want to start with to say is, you know, this is a session that Mara every year, should we have an air panel? And it feels that it's an essential element, isn't it, of these amazing programs that we're running. You know, speaking from Rhodes Scholar, you know, we have these amazing programs, but if the air doesn't work out, it really just changes the whole dynamic of the experience for our passengers, right? And particularly this year, Mara was talking about some of the changes. What do you see changing? And what we see changing is this renewed focus on the customer. You know, believe it or not, the airline is finally starting to get it. In a handout we prepared for you, which I'd ask that you bring with you and bring it back to your desk at your offices or home, because there's lots of tips in here. We're not going to go through them in this session. This session is meant to really highlight for you some of what we're seeing, but we also put a brain dump into this four-page document for all of you to look at when you're planning your programs. Think about some of these airline tips, if you will, that we've put here. They're our best practices, and hopefully is a piece of learning that you can take back with you. But again, today is what's changing in the industry. So the session objectives, just to restate what they are, you know, we're hopefully going to quickly go through this change period, which is really driven by this customer wanting more. As the last session, I thought Nancy, oh my God, wasn't she amazing? You know, everything's faster. There's so much more data. There's so much more happening. The airline industry is a great example of that, aren't they? Because I started the handout, and I'll then introduce the panelists here. I mean, the trends are renewed customer service. I mean, that is definitely, they're looking at what does the customer want. But you know what that's making? That's making things crazy. It's making things crazy for all of us now with the airlines. So Leo and Carolyn will educate us on what that means. But if you remember, I mean, really, the airline industry, it used to be, and perhaps still is, a rules-based culture, right? You get on the plane, is it on time, is whatever, the price. And now it's definitely moving to be a customer-centric culture. I don't know what happened here, but anyway. Okay. Oh, sorry. And my words, this is me writing this, the old world, well-trained pilots on well-built, safe aircrafts, following a checklist of protocols, moving millions of passengers safely and on time to their destination of choice, period. And if they did that, we were happy. The new world, I mean, while the old, in addition, the old world still applies. So now we all expect everything I just said, of course, right? It's a basic expectation. However, in addition to these, the customers, our travelers, our constituents are demanding lots of choices, lots of flexibility, in addition to arriving not only to their destination, but they must be happy when they arrive, they must be relaxed when they arrive, they must be well served, and they must have had a value proposition handed to them. So, oh my God. And that's just before they even get to our great programs. So with that said, I'm going to turn over to our panelists to introduce themselves and why we're here today.
Well, I am Leo Robidet, and I am with Exito Travel. We are essentially a full-service air desk for adventure travel industries and affinity travel, maybe self-titled air enthusiasts or air nerds, as rare as that is in our industry nowadays. We, many years ago, just recognized that this part of the industry is not something that a lot of tour agencies, DMCs, anybody that has to deal with air wants to take on. So, and we're doing that for folks so that they can focus more on their programs. And we're super happy to be here to give some of our perspective on this very volatile business that is changing very quickly. I think Nancy was really a great speaker to lead us into this discussion today, like Paula said, because many industries, the airline industry included, is changing extremely rapidly and at a pace which sometimes is difficult for us to keep up with. In terms of customer service, they are making some great strides and changes and giving customers more variability of their products and options. But oftentimes, the customer service is lacking in many arenas. So today, and for every air session that I'm involved in, I kind of see it as a support group. So welcome, everyone. If you at any point wish to share your feelings and get in touch with your, you know, the basic questions of the universe, and please do. Yes, we're here for you. There are many industries that I think that are in a race to the top in terms of their development. One of a great example of that was Elon Musk yesterday shooting a rocket off into space with his own Tesla car to Mars, basically. That is really an incredible thing. I think the airlines are trying to also develop in a positive direction, but many times they're falling short. And they're in sometimes are in a race to the bottom in terms of their customer service. I'd like to just kind of play devil's advocate today and talk about a just case in point, which is sort of where the airlines are failing us on to some degree. But then we can move into many solutions, hopefully, that would be useful to you guys in developing programs. So one of the industry standards is the practice of overbooking. Who here has ever been bumped from a flight before? All right. How did you feel? Anybody? How did that actually make you feel when you got to the airport? Not happy, right? I mean, basically not happy. This is a very interesting practice because this is essentially the airline charging two people for the same resource, which in any industry would that fly, right? It makes sense, and I want to talk about why it makes sense to some degree for them. The airline industry, on a basic level, is an industry which has very minimal profit margins, sometimes as low as 1%. And it is also a very hyper-competitive industry. So in that kind of atmosphere, it can be, they're always, like any business, trying to optimize their resources and capitalize on their profits. But that environment can sometimes not be the best for the consumer. Who remembers the great incident of 2017, which for the airlines highlighted exactly what social media can do to them and very quickly? Does anybody remember what the big one was last year? Yes. That was a good one. That's not the one I was thinking of, but yes, there were a few. We have options. Yes. Exactly. That was the right. Right. So this is the United incident with David Dow, where he was essentially dragged off the plane as an unwilling participant in the act of overbooking. Right. Again, well, I don't want to disparage the airline industry too much because on a basic level, it is quite amazing. In the U.S. alone, we're talking about 2.5 million people flying every day. And that it's kind of a great concert of human engineering. It is amazing how we can get that to work. And in that sort of statistics, we have about, and this is just on a domestic level, we have about 50,000 people that are bumped a year. So it's low probability that it will happen, but certainly for anybody that's experienced it, and for anybody that's going on a tour, it can be disastrous to your plans. Why do the airlines do this? It makes sense on a statistical from a statistical point of view. Every airline's greatest fear, I think, is spoiled inventory. Just like a hotel, they have to keep those planes full to have the minimal profit that they have. So on an airline, for example, that has 200 people on a flight, they know, given the specific route, that maybe only 195 people will show up on average. And that data is collected very specifically for every route, every direction. They know that this is kind of rough averages of what they have. So worst case scenario, they have, you know, they book 215 people on that flight and all 215 people show up. And then they have to give out, you know, take volunteers, give travel waivers, try pay people off to get on the next flight. And sometimes there are volunteers that will do so and they're super happy to do so. But worst case scenario or best case scenario for them is 195 people show up and they are making a substantial profit by selling 215 tickets. And they do that with such frequency that the profits are quite a lot. They don't want to give up that practice, right? So again, from a statistical side of things, it does make sense to overbook. For our clients, customers, and for yourselves, it doesn't make sense on any level. Some quick some quick tips in terms of avoiding getting bumped from a flight. First thing is show up as early as possible to the flight and get checked in as early as possible to the flight, preferably online 24 hours prior to departure. Every airline has different criteria for who gets booted, and so it's not the same across the board, but that is a primary thing, is if oftentimes the last person to check in is the one that's most likely to be bumped from a flight. And the other thing is seats. Seats are a huge deal in the airline industry, and a lot of, you know, nowadays we'll talk more about seats later in detail, but you know, seats are often for purchase. People don't want to shell out that money at check-in. They can often get it for free, but there's a higher probability of getting bumped if seats are not secured prior to that. So anyway, that is just really a quick case study of how the airlines are failing us. There are many ways that they are. There are many ways that they're not. So I want to kind of use this session just to talk about some tips that we can use to game the system, to do your best in the system with what we have. And with that respect, I'll turn it over to Paula for some start of our tips.
Well, what I was going to do actually there just for a moment is, as we were thinking about the content to talk with you about today, knowing that the airlines are trying to make they're trying to become more customer-centric. So what's happened is this, in some ways, out of control situation, because there's so many choices. I mean, the case in point you've given us, Leo, the overbooking, that's sort of been going on for a while, but now they're doing maybe more of it. They've gotten better with the technology to figure out how to, you know, how many seats to overbook. But there's been so many more strategies the airlines are using that they're creating almost an out of control situation because they're trying to have the customers have choices. So what used to be an airline ticket to get on a plane is no longer that. So that's why I think, so the out of control is really being drawn, I think, from the airlines, and I'm going to look to Carolyn, trying to make us happy and trying to be customer centric. But Alaska Air, just a little punch for you guys. I mean, Alaska Air, and we were thinking about all the airlines out there doing things with a customer focus, Alaska Airline came to our mind because you guys, before it was cool to talk about the word being customer-centric, Alaska Air feels to us, those of us, myself, 30 years in the airline industry, I've always thought of your airline as one sort of over there, not a big player like Delta. We need the Deltas of the world, a great airline. But Alaska Air has been doing some things in a progressive way for our customers. So with that, I wanted to first let Carolyn introduce herself and a little bit about Alaska Air in this new in-control, out-of-control world we live in.
I had asked them if I should wear a big Target on my, and Dale as well. So, but that's okay. We work in the airlines. We have tough skin, right? Well, I'm Carolyn Hoey. I am manager of wholesale and specialty sales for Alaska Airlines. I am very involved in with our tour operators, like Rhodes Scholar. I do charters, groups. I call it kind of the crazy leisure. Part of our sales team. And I've been with the company almost 29 years, so I have seen a lot of changes throughout my career with Alaska Airlines. When I first started, we didn't have the internet, we didn't have electronic tickets. We had to look up the fares in this big book called the AAG and manually do everything. We only had four fares from Seattle to LA. First class, full coach, 7-day advance round trip excursion, 14-day advance round trip excursion. And I remember the Seattle to LA 14-day advance was like $438. And now you can fly Seattle to LA for a lot less than $438. So a lot of that is due to the low-cost carriers coming in, competition, competition, competition. And so the fares have really gone down dramatically. If you did any type of, you know, cost increase from 1989 when I started, to the airfares would be much, much higher if you went the arc of everything with fuel, buying a car, buying a house, and stuff like that. So I think a lot of it has to do with that, you know, as an industry, it's very important to keep the fares low, but you also have to stay in business. And as we've seen over the last 25 years, the number of carriers that have gone out of business or gone bankrupt, because it is, like Leo was saying, a very, very small margin. But all that being said, I think we're on the upturn now of trying to offer more. And, you know, for a while there was really not a lot of food on aircrafts anymore, even on the transcons. And I think you're starting to see changes where it's important that, you know, people want to get on the plane and have a meal. And even if you have to buy it for $7 or $8, it's nice to have. And so I think that, you know, there's a lot of things that are beginning to become more positive for the airline industry, although the race to the bottom with the basic economy fares, and I think that's just they're trying to figure out what's the best way to serve the most amount of people. If it's just cost only, and you don't care if you check a bag, you don't care if you have a seat assignment, you're just going to show up at the airport and you know, be the very last one on the plane, then that product would be for you. But I don't know, for me, I like to have a seat assignment. I like to be able to bring a bag on. And so, fortunately, Alaska Airlines, we have not adopted that policy. And I certainly hope that we never go down that rabbit hole. But you are allowed to get your seats pre-assigned. You can pay into premium. We have a premium class now and first class. But for all of coach, whether you're in row, you know, 10 or you're in row, you know, 33, you know, you can pick your seat assignment. So I think that's really important. Seats are so important to customers, and especially for your groups if they want to travel together, you know, that you are able to get that block of seats. So we really work hard on our customer service. It's in our DNA. It's in our culture. I mean, it's just that's driven with all the employees, and we're proud to work for the airline, and we want to treat our customers and guests like they're part of the family, and I think we do a really good job at that. I was telling Leo that, talking about the bad social media, we had a great social media post yesterday from a customer that was sitting on a plane and saying, we have a 45-minute delay today, but it was because there was a woman and her son, and she had dementia, and she started to get very confused and anxious. And so they spent, you know, 45 minutes with her trying to calm her down, and she had a dog, and they were telling her everything that was going on, and they finally suggested that, you know, it would probably be best if she get off of the plane and then maybe try again tomorrow. So we were able to get them hotel accommodations and transportation to the hotel and change their tickets so that they could get some rest, de-stress, and then come back and try again. So, you know, those are the kind of stories that we like to tell, that, you know, there are employees and airline folks that really do care and will do everything that we can, you know, to make your experience as good as possible.
So I want to take a moment, since we're such a small group. Does anyone want to share with us sort of your needs or your feelings of out of control with doing your programs as it relates to air? Just a snippet to get a sense of, I want to make sure we're meeting your needs as we get into some of our strategies. Like, what are some of your stress points with air?
I think one of the stressors that we face is several of our tour operators have contracted air, which our travelers don't know their flight arrangements until 2.5 to 3 months prior to departure, let alone seat or airline or connecting cities and how long layovers are. So is there any work being done to be more customer service centric in that contracted.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we're just saying book your own air. But folks.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Your travelers, your constituents are looking for more choices, more information,
more information
when they buy their amazing experience. The airline part of it is, it's not okay to wait to the end. Like.
and it's wait until 24
okay.
Hours
okay, we'll try to talk about the contracted fares. Does anyone? Yeah.
Brett. Hi, I'm Brett from Stanford. My question that I always get is, when should I buy my ticket?
When? Okay. Yeah. When should I buy?
Impossible question to answer.
Right. Do you use group? Do you package the group? You say you mentioned contracted fares. Does your programs, what do you do for air for your participants?
Our strategy is very simply to distance ourselves from air
as much as possible.
To be honest with you, we cannot add any value.
Okay.
We recognize it as the first impression and value. The last of what could otherwise be
the first and the last, the Oreo cookie, huh? Yeah. You know,
so in addition to the weather, it's something that we feel we have zero control over and can have a huge impact on everything.
Okay. Yep. I feel your pain. Anyone else? So I think everyone agrees with that, right? Right. It's the beginning and it's the end, and you want to distance yourself from all of that. So Rhodes Scholar, it's interesting. We've had those same discussions over many, many years, and it's interesting as a educational travel organization like yourselves, and as a not-for-profit as well, they really didn't want air in the equation. You know, wanted to be as far away from air as possible, and used outside services and companies to help them. But the company got so large that it made the best decision was to bring it in and get control over what is largely out of our control with the airlines. So I guess I'll take a minute then to talk about some of our strategies. You know, it just works for us, and then let's talk and share all of our other strategies. You know, the in control, what we're doing, and I'll give you we're getting the pressure big time from the traveler who this traveler wants seats is important to them, and the other traveler, you know, sitting up front is important to them, the business class, and others it's leaving earlier, and others it's having all the amenities in the lounges, and really, so the profile, so to speak, of our group, you know, the common interest is they are like-minded and are going to be educated together. But when you're traveling to these destinations, they're very independent travelers. So our current solution is that we give people three choices. It is do your own air, you know, so that's, we go right out there and make that possible most of the time. There's probably three or four, and I can mention one of them, and it's where we had a negative situation this year, where we had to require our participants to travel together because of the way the airline itinerary worked. So that was very restrictive, and it was met with the only way we do when we limit choices. You know, what's been helpful for us is to be very, very clear way up front. So you set the expectations very well, and the reasons why, because people don't understand. And Martinique, so this is, I'll lead into that example. So Rhodes Scholar, if some of you know us, an old tagline has always been leave your wallet at home. You know, it's a fully inclusive trip where you should be able to show up at the airport and go home and leave your wallet at home. Well, the leave your wallet at home should have been really made clear on this one, because we thought we'd be really, you know, Nancy was saying, you know, looking at opportunities and just what's new and different. And we never do educational trips in the Caribbean. Sorry, Dale. It was sort of off our radar. We're in Europe and in museums. You know, we don't go to the beach. So, but Martinique, as a French island, there's a lot of culture there, a lot to learn. The Martinique Tourism Board talked to us and said, you know, you should talk with Norwegian Airline. This is this great airline who's, you know, great airfares. So you're going to reach the low affordable fares that people want these days. And they fly daily from New York, you know, JFK to Martinique. So, but everyone has to travel together, and they only fly, actually, it's not every day of the week, every other day. So it made for, you really had to travel together. So we blocked the space with the airline. We advertised it as, you know, show up and we're going to get you to Martinique. So the group leader, upon arrival in Martinique, as our passengers were getting off the plane, he was just hit with one complaint after another. They didn't have any, there actually were a few people who didn't bring any money on the plane, and you had to buy the water. So you had to buy the water. Now, I completely missed that in the contract. I mean, I did get that we wanted a seat assignment, but I forgot to ask for water. Now, who would have thought to ask for water? We were slammed in our reviews. I think one person did a social media thing. And I thought, God, just when you thought you'd thought of everything, you forgot to ask the airline if they were going to charge for water, and they did on that flight. So what's the moral of that story was that couple of things. I mean, when you are doing Inclusive Air and requiring your travelers to travel on a certain airline, group air probably is the contracted air, explain to them some of the reasons why, and let them make them their choice when they can. So the three choices, so ours are, you know, travel on this program without our air, and actually about 25% of our group members are our participants, we call them. I think you guys probably do too. Buy their own air, so that lets those that are mileage is important to them or whatever they're doing. The other two channels pretty much split right down the middle, which is people that want to take the air that Road Scholar decides. So if you live in New York, we preset the price because we've contracted it with the airline. And this is what you get, Turkish Airline. You know, you're flying to Egypt on Turkish Airline. If you don't want to fly on, you know, you go in the third bucket, which is custom air. So we offer our, and I stressed when we started these channels about 10 years ago, really seeing the consumer choices were really changing about air, and it was really going to prevent some travelers from going with us because they, you know, they would say, I got that with my Tauk tour or my whatever tour. So, you know, it's a hyper-competitive educational travel market, as we know. So these three channels we're very upfront about, we're very clear about. If you want to go with, you know, custom air, we have an entire custom desk of air people now whose job it is just to talk with the traveler and guide them through whatever airline they want to travel on, whatever. And that's a growing bucket. So, I mean, we had hoped it actually would shrink a little bit and it would just be those sort of people that were very discriminating about their travel needs. But it's actually growing, and it's even growing so much that we're finding in our what we call our contact center, when someone calls our organization and first enrolls in the trip, they're having a hard time even making a buying decision about this amazing program before they can have that chat with someone about the air routing and the cost. I mean, the cost, while airfares are going down, when you add all these things up and the premium economy, which is well advertised and so on and so forth, it can be a third or more of their investment. So the air conversation in our world today as a nonprofit educational travel company is to make that intelligence be part of the first person that you talk to. And we're not there yet. We're very much not there yet. That when you call our contact center, who understands the trip, they understand the mission of Road Scholar, just like all of your organizations. It's not, I mean, it works for some of our travelers, but for many of our newer ones, the younger crop coming up, the baby boomers, they want a lot of choices. So with that, you know, what we're doing is we're committing to being very, very, very clear about our air strategies and making lots of choices within reason available. So I would encourage you, when you're working with your contracted airline relationship, your contracts, you've got to get these needs out on the table because the airlines can flex for you. So, for example, you know, just yesterday I was working on another itinerary that I know we're going to have a lot of people wanting business class. I know we're going to have a lot of people wanting to deviate. But I also know that we need to block the space because there's four flights during the trip within Egypt. And so we do have to do a contract. So we're going to work with the airline to make sure they can give us enough flexibility, whether it's, you know, 20% of the people can deviate, the people can get a seat assignment. They can, you know, they can have basically know your group, know the profile of what you need, and you have to ask that of your tour operator, of your airline. And I'm hoping some of the tips that we've given you today will help you to be a better consumer of this travel. But this, there was sort of seven takeaways that I think we wanted to with how to get in control, things that you really want to make sure that you're knowledgeable above. And I'll take one of them and then I'll pass it off to. And for me, it's probably it's the biggest. It's sort of complicated a little bit, I guess, but it's the kind of fare, because there's so many fares now. When you're not the consumer facing one, but as the organizer behind the scene, when you're working with the airline or your tour planner or whoever you guys work with to help, you know, you really need to know, because there's so many fares now that many of them, our South African trips, there's, you know, like eight different inventories of fares. The three cheapest don't come with a seat assignment. The next two up come with a seat assignment, but you have to ticket them early. The next four up there, you know, they're more expensive, but you have some flexibility on when your traveler is prepared to pay you. So it's really, there's a breadth of fares out there, and we take almost every one of our trips, honestly, and chop it up and figure out, okay, who is going to buy this? Where are they going to largely originate? How flexible are they going to want to be with, how early are they prepared to pay Rhodes Scholar? Because what's happening now with the tour operator fares anyway, it's really pretty dramatic change in Delta. I know I've had to work with them to understand it myself this year, is there's a lot of these special fares they'll do for the tour operators and those of us with groups, but they need you to ticket them a little earlier than you ever had to before, but the price is so much lower. So when you're balancing price for your tours, sometimes it's better to, you know, get your traveler to know that the term sale fare, I don't know if you want to use that, but there are lots and lots of fares, and generally, the earlier you buy, a general statement, someone said when, the earlier you book and the earlier you are prepared to ticket, the lower fare you're going to get in this particularly international market that we live in with our net fares. So Lufthansa, I know this year we had, looking at one itinerary, I think I had seven or six different, for the exact same itinerary, we had booked a couple, and we charged them a price, and then Lufthansa put all these sales in the market. They were still, contracted fares, but one had to be ticketed 14 days from today. Another one had to be ticketed 45 days from today. Another one had to be ticketed in May. Another one in October. And so this is way too much information for your customer, but you should know that you can be saving your customers money because the airlines have those fares out there. And largely when you commit to going on an international program, you know you're going, right? So there's no reason not to ticket early. And the penalties on that fare, I'm always making sure that our passengers can change their mind and cancel for a modest penalty of, you know, $250 or $300. We rarely do non-refundable fares because I think, because they aren't the cheapest actually anymore. They aren't the least expensive fares internationally. So the fare. And I'm happy if any of you ever want to reach out to me, outside this meeting or whatever, to give you any advice. I'm happy to do that as well, because I've been doing this for 30 years with Rhodes Scholar, and I think I've seen everything. I think I definitely have seen a lot of out-of-control situations, but I spend most of my time figuring out how to be in control. And it is asking a lot of questions and making sure your travelers know it's not just the price, it's what is it they want. And they're generally always willing to pay a little bit more for what they want. So it's figuring out what they need and giving them that, not what they ask for.
Yes, thank you, Paula. I think this is the downside in any industry of having so many choices and options. You get to the supermarket and you see 18 different types of tomato sauce that you can use on your spaghetti. And you have a moment of panic. I like the paralysis by analysis moment. And that's difficult to deal with. And actually, our organization really exists because there are so many fare options, seat options, airline options, And it's just, it's overwhelming. And like a gentleman said in the back, very astutely, this is the first and the last experience that people have on the trip. And as good as a program as you can put together, if that's a negative experience, it will color your product, unfortunately, right? So we really are sort of in the market because there's a lot of folks we find who, there are those people who love to do everything on their own, but just like someone who wants to build a great tour, they want that part of the program taken care of for, you know, by an expert, by someone who focuses that on that day in and day out. And a lot of the things that we would suggest would be the same for you, which is one of the greatest priorities for travelers is their seats. The seat is the experience. I mean, that is exactly what they're going to be, you know, this is the in-the-moment part of the process. So seats are difficult to manage because every airline has a different policy in terms of how seats are available to the client. Well, many airlines will allow seats to be assigned prior to departure. Airlines like American are allowing the least desirable seats to be assigned prior to departure. So you're talking about the back of the plane, you're talking about the middle seat or the window seat, not very likely the aisle seat. So one of the greatest themes, I think, of this talk is just simply to, if you have to deal with the airfare, manage the expectations of your clients on all these levels. The fare level, which is maybe the cheapest fare is not going to be your best friend. The seat level, which is what is the actual airline procedure for choosing your seat? How can you get the best seat? Will you have to pay for that seat? Which in many cases you will. Why should you pay for that seat? Which in the case of overbooking is really important because, hey, that's going to guarantee you space on the flight. So we try and give those suggestions to all our clients just so they understand what is it they're buying and make sure that those preferences and needs are met. Another suggestion that I think we would have is to try in these international programs, if you do have to ticket, look for single ticket options. And that simply means that you are utilizing airline partnerships to the best available. So for example, clients that are going to Kilimanjaro, Africa. Delta, KLM, Air France have a partnership where you can utilize their flights to get to a destination, often where Delta doesn't service or doesn't service well, and put all of the flights on a single ticket. And what that does is it prevents problems with schedule changes, where if you had two disconnected tickets, and maybe you've experienced this, that don't mash up when there's a time change, you can manage that much easier. If there's a problem of a delay, again, if a canceled flight occurs, then the airline will try and get you on the next available flight, and it'll be a single through ticket option. So there's a lot of advantages to knowing what the airline partnerships are, like Oneworld, for example, American, British Airlines, Iberia, Delta, KLM, Air France. All those things are really important to know to create the like single ticket option. Schedule changes. Let me just talk about that really briefly since I just mentioned it. Schedule changes are the bane of our existence. We hate them so much. In the past, it was less frequent. But now it seems that I think as technology has progressed in the industry, they've realized that they can increase profitability by making changes. Or there are many reasons why it occurs. But we have on our staff three people who are pretty much dedicated full-time to just dealing with schedule changes. And the rest of our team is also assisting with those schedule changes. So it's a constant barrage of trying to manage these new schedules that are tied to tours, which are very time sensitive. So we're constantly having a dialogue with the trip planner, with the client in connection, to figure out the best solution when a schedule change occurs. My only big advice there is when there is a schedule change for your own flights or for your client's flights, to check them often, check them early, and not to sit on them where possible, because the more time that goes by with a schedule change and it's not dealt with, the less space there is on alternative flight options. So it's just really important to try and get that taken care of as early as you can.
Yeah, that's really important for the schedule changes. There's usually 3 to 4 major schedule changes a year for the carriers. At least that's what we've noticed. And Dale, would you agree with Delta? That's, yeah. So I know we have like 3 seasons. It seems to where there's big schedule changes. So especially with groups, I mean, we do try to contact the group leader as early as possible when it happens, because it's easier to move one or two people, but if you have to move 40, you know, we want to do it as far in advance as possible to make sure that we get, you know, get your group taken care of on that. And, you know, if it comes to where we even have to put you on another carrier, you know, we will do that if we can't get you to where you need to go. So it's really important, I think, having these the tour operators and the agencies that can really, you know, go to battle for you with the airlines. It seems funny for me to say it like that. It's not really a battle, but I mean, it's just really to go and fight, because we've got the good relationships with our tour operators, and you know, they'll fight for you and work for you to help you. And sometimes it can be overwhelming if you know you have the air alone and you're trying to figure out who to call, what to do, how do you get help. So having the experts that deal with it all the time with us really really is an advantage for your customers, I think. Another thing we were talking about was, well, the baggage. And I think the baggage goes along with being on a single ticket, because if you have, you know, if you have two separate tickets, a lot of the airlines now will still charge you their bag fee if it's not on a single ticket. And so, and especially with an international airline, then, you know, if you're checking in on a domestic flight to connect to that, those international baggage rules usually apply. So it's good to have the single ticket, because there's a lot more seamless travel for your customers. And flight alerts. That, I think, is really important to advise your folks that when they've booked their air, to go ahead and sign up for trip alerts, flight alerts. All the airlines have where you can sign up by to get an email or get a text. And we have a great app. Alaska Airlines has a really good app. And, you know, I've already got my American Airline check-in, you know, notice reminding you to check in, and Alaska Airlines will, you know, send you a text message, and they'll send you, you know, if you should be on your way to check in your bag now, you should be, you know, we're boarding now, that type of thing. And if there's a delay, you usually get a message. So it's really good for your guests to be able to have that. And when you make the reservations, or you're making a reservation through a tour operator, make sure you have the group leader's contact information in there, that they add that in the reservation, so that phone number and that email is there as well. Because if they don't have a 24-hour helpline, or, you know, somebody that can help you at 4 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, that if you know the notification is going to them, if that's the only contact that's in the reservation. So if you also add, then you know we'd be able to talk directly to you know the person that's leading the group, as opposed to, you know, sending the schedule change message that happened the night before to, you know, the travel agency or the tour operator that might not be there. So, I mean, I know a lot of you do have, you probably have 24/7 support, but sometimes there isn't. So the trip alerts, and then making sure that the contact information is in the record, is really important to help with in case there's any kind of last minute changes.
I think it's a good example of how the airlines are now trying to, they have a responsibility to the traveler, where I feel like we were decades of selling airline tickets, and there was no relationship with the traveler until they were on the airplane. Nowadays, so just sort of leveraging a little bit what you just said, both of you, I mean, Rhodes Scott, what we're finding is we have to invest more time up front. So we can't wait to give our travelers their schedules 2 months before. You mentioned 2 months before. That does not work for us. So we're spending a lot of energy to make sure people, the minute they buy that trip, if it's within 330 days, they're going to get an itinerary. They're going to get an itinerary. We won't have ticketed it, but they will get an itinerary, because we will have made sure with our, whoever your planners are, your whoever you guys use to help you be the advocate with the airline, you have to get that as a group operator. I mean, it's just because your travelers need choices, we talked about. So we spend a lot of time up front giving them what they need. But then once we ticket the itinerary, Rhodes Scott, we are starting to leverage. Go to Delta's website. You know, here's your e-ticket. don't call us. No, I mean, basically, you know, once the ticket's issued, we're in the old days, we were just, you know, that's not our mission, is, you know, talking through all those questions to the, and when they're traveling, we have an emergency service. We make sure we have an insurance company. We have a dedicated visa provider. We make sure they get the link to the airline's website. We make sure we send them the link to the baggage site. We make sure we tell them to download the app to their phone. We're trying to sort of push some of the responsibility from us who are trying to plan these tours. I mean, we know we have a responsibility to make sure we suggest the right flights and book the right flights, but after that, we do it up front, and then we start pushing them to the airline. We've even just been, last week, having a big discussion, you know, can we stop doing seat assignments, you know, and we have half of the room at Rhodes Call saying, we have to do that. And the other saying, you know, I mean, half the airlines charge, some don't, some do, some charge if you bought this ticket, some if you bought that ticket. I mean, it's impossible to stay on top of these seats. So, I mean, you can do your best up front in the planning. I mean, that is what I'm all about, is you sit down with literally a checklist. I have one at my desk. Have I asked everything I possibly can, you know, to make sure that we're going to mitigate any number of things? And then after that, we make sure the customer gets their itinerary early on so they can make changes if they want to. And then we push it to the airline, because there are apps, there are websites, and you guys sometimes are calling them before we're calling them. So to the schedule changes, what we're finding, there's so many of them now, right? I mean, there's so many, Dale, with Delta. We do so much business with Delta Airlines, so much volume. There's just, you know, hundreds are coming into our queues all day. So we have some robotics now that just works it and shoots an email to the passenger and says, you know, call the airline. You have to manage these, but you really don't want to. That's not our focus, right? Is to just be the airline. The airlines are there. You guys know you have a phone number in the PNR. You have an email. You have the technology. We don't, to stay. And you guys automatically rebook the passengers now too. So it's really educating your traveler to not feel like crazy when they get the schedule change or before travel. Check in online. Do all the basic things. Our passengers weren't doing that. They were thinking, oh, Rhodes Scholar would call them. No, like, check in online. You know, literally the 24th hour, you know, hour before, check in online. It really, really does make a difference.
Piggyback on that. That's a really good point. We are here to be advocates for our clients with the airlines, and we're, you know, here to fight for them when there's issues like schedule changes or delays or problems. But she made a really good point that in the end, we don't control the products. The airlines control the products, which is a hard system to manage. But one way I found to be successful at that is to essentially get the client invested in the process along with you. So while you're here, you know, trying to be their advocate and get them the best seats and do what you can, let them make sure you manage expectations and let them know, hey, these are airlines. They are, you know, sometimes they change very quickly in their policies, so some things don't work really well. If there's a problem, I'm going to my rep to help you out with this. But get them involved in that process so that they kind of have those expectations managed, and understand that they're also responsible at times to, you know, hey, you know, last minute, you should be checking in. You should be making sure that flight is still on time. We'll try and call you when that comes through. But just get them invested in that process so that they're part of it. And also in that regard, I kind of wanted to play devil's advocate and speak to some of the negative behavior of the airline, which I could cite many examples from my personal life. But it also, it's good to realize that they, on their end, like our reps at the airlines, are sometimes equally frustrated. Dealing with just a single airline and their own policies, sometimes things are not working well, or things are slow to evolve or to change. They know there's a problem in the system. It takes months to get things fixed. So the way I look at it is just to try and be positive and realize that we're all part of a team. The client is part of our team. The tour operator is part of our team. The rep is part of our team, and we're just going to try and, you know, struggle through to get the best result possible when dealing with the airline. I think that's really, really important.
Is the who's responsible? I don't know. Like when you have your travelers calling you, is there an expectation that do they have a place to go? So in the triage of responsibilities, like you just said, there's the airline, there's the tour operator, there's the planner. You know, make it clear who to go to for what, because everyone has to do something, and it can't just all fall on, you know, the travel planner who's getting all these calls, which you probably, I don't know. So we actually have more information. We tell our travelers, call this person for this, call this person for that, because sometimes we send them to, I'll pick on Andrew, you know, Andrew from Pacific Island Institute. We work with Andrew in many areas of the world that you are experts in. We're not experts in it. So we use Andrew, and in some cases we have our travelers calling you directly, right? So we have five. Okay, thank you. So with that said, we'd like to hear from all of you to see if you're really, you know, you've got us here, questions of Dale from Delta, of Carolyn from Alaska Air, or Leo or I.
Q&A. Or support, again, emotional. If you want to break down and cry.
It's getting harder. It's the support group. So I think just hearing that it's getting harder is hopefully feeling, but it's an opportunity to define responsibilities. It's getting harder because no one person can do it anymore. Is that what it is, Leo? You know?
Well, I like to think of it.
So questions, anyone? Comments? Do you love the airline part of what you do? Do some of you take the questions of your travelers who buy your trips? They come into your offices and do you vet the questions and then send them off to your tour operators? Is that sort of how it goes?
Because most of us here have really long flights, that we do appreciate the investments that the airlines are making in the upgrading their planes, entertainment systems, things like that, that really do have a significant, meaningful impact on the flight process.
Arriving at the airport early is another tip. We are really big on that, arriving at the airport. Sounds silly, but 3 hours, you really need that for traveling internationally. So everyone is,
sorry, thank you. So that, you know, is a basic tip. But so take away your little tips that we prepared for you. These are things that we just live by, and know that Leo at Exito and myself at Rhodes Scholar would be happy to help you with any questions that you have after the session. Also, we would ask that you take a moment and fill out the evaluation for the ETC folks. They love, really need your feedback so that we can continue to help each other.
And at any point, if you have a question of a personal flight nature or some part of the industry that, you know, is gnawing on you, feel free to come and grab us. We're happy to discuss throughout the conference or any time. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much.
What about a tip? When do we show up at the airport and when we're leaving here? I hear that leaving the airport here in Bermuda is particularly...
So yeah, I'm lucky enough. I'm able to come here about once a month. So I've been doing this for about a year now. I definitely arrive to the airport on the earlier side. Check in for all the airlines. They will cut it off 1 hour before. You do pre-clear here, so U.S. Customs is here. So you'll pre-clear when you get to the U.S. You're off and running. So they'll tag your bag, you take it through pre-clear customs, go through, drop your bag, go through security. Security is pretty old school here, so everything comes off, shoes come off. A little secret, they will tell you if you listen to take out your cosmetics and stuff, your liquids, and all your power cords. I've never done it. No one ever looks in the bucket. I just go on through, so save yourself some time there and don't do that. Yep. But Do not expect much on the other side. It's
right,
as you'll see when you get upstairs and after you get through security, they are building a new airport here, but it's a long time coming. So there's a little snack shop upstairs, but you know, don't expect much. It's it's not New York or Chicago or any place else.
But it's interesting that the airport experience, that sometimes what we're finding at our company is that you know, everyone's happy they got their ticket, it's okay, they have their program materials, everyone's okay, but no one failed to really talk about the experience at the airport, and now that's becoming important. You know, is there food, is there not food, is there lounges, how far is this terminal from that terminal? So we're just again, all that information is so important when traveling now, and so it's paying attention to the whole experience with the from home to wherever you're going, the whole experience. So make sure somebody's worrying about that. Your tour operator, it's not okay for them to just give you an airfare. They need to talk to you about the airport, talk to you about the amenities at the terminal, talk about clearance and customs and all of that, and make sure someone's worrying about visas and e-visas, of course, because I know you're all traveling to and TSA, yeah. And encourage, we do encourage TSA pre-check and global entry now. People, what is that? So educate them and show of hands. Do you all have the global entry or TSA pre-check? Yeah, it's great. So it's a good investment and they'll appreciate it. Good. You didn't have to take your shoes off. Yeah. All right. So we're happy to chat today if you'd like some more. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.